At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Corey Richens, let's talk about her. Family has come out and gave us a little insight into just how the home flipping business of Corey Richens went. And it seems to be kind of on the same path of most of Corey Richens' life on that narrative of, well, she sold them a hazardous home. They had claiming that it had hazardous levels of mold and an onslaught of mysterious problems, tried to reach out to her several times, got absolutely nowhere. They say they can't live in it right now. And this lawsuit was filed actually 6 months before the murder accusation. So it's not somebody piling onto the Corey Richens train for some sort of attention here. What does that tell you at all about Corey Richens, you know, before we knew Corey Richens?
Well, I find it interesting and usual that individuals that are narcissistic and that partake in crimes like she is alleged to have, you know, participated in, mm-hmm. that they are in the criminal realm throughout everything they do. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they're motivated by money, they're motivated by looking good, by self-achievement, by all these things that they don't come by honestly. And so it's not unusual at all. I'll give you, of course, a good example everybody knows of is Alec Murdoch.
Sure.
He's the quintessential example of this, of someone who just runs askew in everything he does. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we're seeing with Corey Richens. Probably wasn't truthful about that house. But of course, you know, as you know, these real estate transactions have so many different facets. Mm-hmm. Was the seller honest? You know, she's just the realtor. She's just the go-between. Well, did she even know about it?
Yeah. And that's the thing that when we've looked into it and others have as well. And the seller of the home flat out told her there was mold problems, water problems. There's a text message that recognizes this as being an issue and still went through and basically didn't alleviate the true problems that she knew were there, just kind of put some drywall and paint and said, here you go. And that created what it created. Now, I mean, this could have been done, you know, just someone who doesn't really know what the hell they're doing with flipping a home. Plenty of people don't know what they're doing and they think, let's just put that drywall up and we're done. Or it could be, you know, truly intentional of, we know this is a problem. I don't want to spend the money. It's going to be their problem now. But I feel horrible for this family because, I mean, how do you get any of your money back right now with the state of where Corey Richens' finances are and just her existence?
Right. You don't. I mean, there's no blood from a turnip, as they say.
Yeah.
And certainly with those text messages, and I apologize, I had not read that. But that's big.
Yeah.
Because it puts the onus squarely on her for being deceptive. But I think she's probably been deceptive in all areas of her life.
Do you think this little tidbit that we've learned about here is going to, in any way, shape, or form, make it into the murder trial, just as almost the finances did with Alec Murdoch? I mean, this certainly does show character. Obviously not very related, but I'm wondering how or if it would ever end up in there, if nothing through possibly like a psychological evaluation, if they were to discuss any of these issues. I don't know.
I don't think it will make it in. I think it's too tangential. How do you say that word, Tony? I think it's too much on the side of all the other, you know, of the murder charges. But the reason Murdoch's was allowed in was because that was sort of the beginning of the unraveling.
True.
Right. Him falling and then becoming sort of this family annihilator based on the fact that he was losing everything. And also on the stand, due to a question asked by the defense attorney, he opened the door for those to come in. I think mm-hmm. if there's a new trial, Tony, we won't see that same question no. being asked and the door opened.
No, I don't think we will either. I think it'd be a very different scene if we end up going there. With the fact that Corey wrote that document, that the thing she's claiming is part of a screenplay or her manuscript for a book, obviously it was a letter to her mother and brother telling them what to say and how to say it. Now the fact that the mother and brother are out there saying pretty much what she wanted them to say, does that put them at risk at all to be saying anything at all? Just because now the dynamic of what we have here of basically her trying to influence a witness and then those witnesses are in fact coming forward and saying, no, she didn't do it. We don't believe any of this and you know what she wanted.
Well, I think family members most of the time want to believe their loved one. It's very difficult for them to believe that somebody could kill
sure.
you know, somebody else. It's just so difficult to wrap your head around as somebody that, you know, about somebody you love. Having said that, it's going to greatly depend on what they say on the stand, Tony.
Yep.
What are they going to say up there under oath with their hand raised? Mm-hmm. That, to me, is the big question. And also how they answer, were you influenced by? Mm-hmm. Were you told to say this? And those answers. So they're going to have to be very careful on the stand, and certainly they will be called.
You're consuming the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast, dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.